Ladies and gentlemen.
System loading.
The Kelly Mano Show.
We're on a mission from God.
Is on the air.
Is on the air.
Are there any questions before we proceed?
Radio signal from another world.
In three.
What would you be waiting for?
Two, start the show.
Good morning. You are listening to the Kelly Mano Radio Show. Thank you for joining us on this rainy Monday morning. But it is the Monday after Christmas. I am here with producer Gary. Did you have a good Christmas?
Fantastic Christmas. How about you?
I had a great Christmas. Did you have any favorite gifts that you got?
Oh yeah, I got a couple of nice shirts and sweaters from the better half for the day job.
You're such an old man.
Hey, you know, I gotta look good. You know, I always tell people that my style quotient has gone up exponentially since I've been with my wife.
Well, that always helps. But right. Now, do you notice anything different about me and maybe what I got for Christmas?
Yeah, I see these really, really cute pink things that are on your head.
Do you see that fancy bee on the side?
Right.
That means that they were made by Dr. Dre himself.
Yes, they in his lab.
Yes.
Him and Snoop Dogg together just for you.
Oh, I wanted a pair of Beats headphones for a long time and I couldn't justify the money and now I've got a radio show. And last week I was using Libby Lou's $11 Shopkins headphones and oh my gosh, these sound so much better.
No, really?
It is like music to my ears. But yeah, I had a wonderful, you know, my birthday and Christmas are just a couple days apart.
Right.
So I get kind of bombarded with gifts. And one of my favorite things besides my new big black man headphones is this that I'm holding right here in my hand, Gary. This came from our friend, the Cooks. And a lot of people like joke with me that I never grew up, which is fine because I totally didn't. And it is a fart gun.
Absolutely. So, I know exactly where that's from.
It's a fart blaster gun. And so on command, I can pull this trigger. And the greatest thing about it is that there's a timer on it. So you can leave it like in the room and walk away and like set the fart to go off.
Oh, no.
Yes. I'm in my mid to upper 30s and I got a fart gun. I'm so excited. And the kids are so jealous. And so here's the thing. The people who bought me this fart gun, they've got a son on Rocky's hockey team. And this kid can fart on command. He sucks air into his butt and then blows it out. And it's the most amazing thing you've ever seen in your life. So he's coming on the show next week. And I'm going to put you, or actually probably my new co-host, in the next room. And we're going to play butt or fart gun. And so their kid's going to fart. And you guys have to guess if it was a real butt or the fart gun.
Oh, my.
We are a well-oiled machine here at the Kelly Mano Show.
Yes. Top-notch entertainment,
yes.
Ladies and gentlemen.
I was so excited that I thought of that. And actually, I mean, we've got really big news on the show.
Right.
Because over the weekend, I don't know if you saw on Facebook, probably, because I made you post it, but I proposed over the weekend.
Right.
And, you know, I'm already married, so that might confuse some people, but I actually proposed and asked somebody to be my full-time co-host on this show.
And it wasn't me.
No, it was not you, but are you happy with my decision?
Oh, absolutely.
And so this person was supposed to be here today and did not show up for their first day of work.
See, and here I am. I'm here. I'm on time.
This person claims that they are stuck in traffic. Actually, I think they're like stuck in a flood. So we are going to call, and the person who answers this phone is going to be my new co-host. And hopefully next week they won't be on the phone. So hang on. Voice call, speaker.
Hi.
Hi, is this Hoss?
It is.
It's Kelly. We're on the air. Everybody say hi, Hoss.
Hi, Hoss.
So I just told everybody that I proposed to you.
Well, you did. It was kind of awesome. I was unexpected of a winter proposal, but it was very awesome.
Yeah, I told him that I felt like I was asking him to prom. Like I was kind of nervous, and I thought maybe I should like write it in candles and like put it somewhere, or like I even thought about like maybe a skywriter or you know get on the Jumbotron, and then instead I just decided to text you. Is that okay?
It was know, this may date to both of us, but it was very 16 Candles-esque, and it was very awesome.
Well, I'm really excited to have you join the show full time. Now, I've had a lot of really great co-hosts, and they're going to keep coming in. You know, people like Dan Duffy and Becker and Donna and Jess, and I mean, they all bring fun things to the show. Haas is just crazy enough to hang out with me all the time, and I like Haas for a lot of reasons. Number one, I can totally be myself around him. Number two, he can talk pop culture and sports. And that is so important, because if you can't go from, you know, Adam Wainwright to Kim Kardashian in like a second, then you can't hang with me.
Right.
And number three, I don't think I intimidate Haas at all. Haas, are you scared of me, even kind of?
No, I mean, you know, I've known you long enough that I think you and I are very similar with how we process things and how we think, and
yeah,
you know, there's I think where you know things that I don't, and I know things that you don't, and I think we kind of help fill in each other's gaps.
I think so too, and you know, I don't think Haas is ever afraid to disagree with me, but I also don't think he'll start a fight for fun. I think he's the perfect compliment to the Kelly Mano Show, and we are so excited to have you.
Yay!
I'm super happy to be a regular part of the show.
Yay! So I was just talking to Gary. First of all, where are you, like in a flood or something? Are you trying to like paddle here?
I think in about 5 more minutes you'd be calling me from a boat. yeah, I was trying to get to you, but apparently every road out of St. Charles County is underwater. So
yeah, well,
we're stuck on an island.
We'll just have you hang on the phone for a little bit, and then if you make it in, you make it in. If not, it's no big deal. But, you know, over the weekend on Saturday, I was going to our friend's house to watch the Blues game, and I'm like a crazy overprotective mom. I threw life jackets in our car because I'm like, if we get swept away, I at least want the kids taken care of.
Well, we spent, Tori and the kids and I spent Christmas at my parents' house, and my parents live in St. Peter's. And they back up to a creek.
Oh, that's trouble.
We woke up, you know, in the middle of the night, Saturday morning, hearing a little bit of thunder, but I didn't think it was much. And then we got up Saturday morning and looked at the creek outside their backyard, and it was almost out of the banks.
Oh, yeah.
And it hasn't stopped. It hasn't stopped raining for like 24 hours.
No, it's absolutely miserable. And I know Jimmy and I were in Brentwood over the weekend, and then areas of that. I mean, places are flooding that don't normally flood.
Right.
And I'm waiting for our basement to get it.
It's insane.
Exactly. Now, speaking of Saturday night, Haas, where were you during that fantastic Blues game? Please tell me you watched it.
I was in section 324.
Oh, you were there.
Thank you. Seat 15.
Okay. Now, when you got home, did you rewind and watch that Shattenkirk slap out of the net? Because I don't know if you could see it very well from the 300s.
Oh, I saw it because I think I almost tackled my girlfriend screaming.
That's how we were.
As it happened, because it happened on the far end.
Yeah.
And I thought that's what happened, but I wasn't 100% sure.
Right.
And then I saw the highlight, and I actually tweeted to Kevin Shattenkirk late Saturday night.
I think I saw that.
I said, I'm a very proud man, but I would totally have your babies right now due to that overtime.
I saw that.
Oh, I love Kevin Shattenkirk. He's probably one of my favorite Blues players. We have to get him on the show. And he, when I first saw it happen live, I thought he just swatted it out of the line. It wasn't until the replay that I realized it was in the air.
Right.
Yeah.
That
the amount of coordination that took is just stupid insane.
Yeah, it was stupid coordination and stupid luck. It was like right place in the right time.
And Mike Matheny needs to go ahead and I think maybe bring him down to spring training, because if he can hit a puck like that, he might actually be able to hit a baseball pretty well.
No, who needs Jason Hayward and his pompous ass? Have fun in Chicago. Exactly. We need to bring Shatty.
I'll tell you this much. Those 9 rounds of shootout put more gray in my hair for sure.
We were screaming, and, you know, I couldn't think of anybody better to end it than the captain, David Backes.
Right.
Yep. And, you know, every time.
That was his first ever goal in a shootout. And he was, what, 0-4 before that?
Yeah. Well, I kept saying they were going to bring him out because, you know, normally shootouts don't go 9 rounds. And we were all trying to guess and predict who was going to come out next. And for the most part, we were right. The only question that I had, and I guess, you know, if anybody knows more about hockey, it's Haas. Is Stastny like on someone's shit list? Because wouldn't he normally have come out for the shootout?
I think Stastny's more of a playmaker than a goal scorer.
Okay.
not that he can't score goals.
Right.
But I think he's more the guy who's going to set you up and make a good pass.
Yeah.
That said, there were a couple of plays, both in the third period and overtime, where I don't know who he was passing to.
Yeah, but we saw those.
Not what I would call NHL quality work.
I don't like talking bad about athletes because I know how hard they work, but I'll let you do it and say I agree with you.
I mean, look, dude, and the other thing was, I think for a lot of that game, like Tarasenko, I think, was fighting it. Like, you can tell when you watch the Blues when he's feeling it and it's rolling.
Oh, yeah.
Versus when he's kind of, like, fighting the puck.
Right.
And it felt like he was just fighting it all night.
Yeah.
But Magnus Pajari had a great game.
Yep. And you know
who had a great game.
Listen.
Everybody, like,
Steiner.
All the role players stepped up.
Steiner always has a good game. I said the other night that I think my next jersey is going to be a Steiner jersey because I love his grit. And then Ryan Reeves has his swagger back. And did you watch the replay of him spinning that guy around to see his name on his jersey, deciding whether or not he wanted to fight him?
Yes.
I thought that was such a veteran move, and I thought it was so funny.
Speaking of new jerseys, I actually bought one last night.
I did. You bought eyebrows.
I did. I got a Robbie Fabry jersey.
Man, that kid is good. And I had no idea that he was only 19 years old. Or I think he's 20 now.
Yeah.
But I knew he was young, but I didn't know how young he was. And yeah, the team just looks amazing. I could not be more excited about hockey right now.
I agree. I think that the future looks very, very good for this team because we've got a lot of veteran talent, and we've got a very young group of kids. I mean, when you think the fact that Fabry's 19 and Tarasenko's 23,
right,
that's pretty all right.
And then, you know, Steve Ott's out because he had surgery and he's healing. And so when he's gone, you kind of miss a little bit of sass and grit. And so Ryan Reeves has really been stepping up and making us laugh. And when that guy wanted to fight him and he spun around and looked at his jersey and was like, no, dude, I don't even know who you are. That was great. But
yeah, that was pretty awesome.
Yeah. And then I don't know, Haas, how much you follow the Cardinals, but do we even have any Cardinals left? Because, I mean, we lost John Jay, Hayward, Lackey, Cruz. Lackey, we were paying him like minimum wage. Why the hell did he leave?
It doesn't surprise me that he left. I kind of thought that he might go somewhere and try to get a better rotation position because he was like our number five guy, I think. I mean, I follow the Cardinals, but it's I don't want to be the guy to say this on record, but I will be. I think next year might be the Cubs' year.
Oh, I think it's coming. Gary, talk for a minute because I'm dying.
Lackey was going to get the money, and it was just a matter of if it was going to be from us or from somebody else. But yeah, Haas, I think you may be on the money there. And now, granted, I think it may be kind of a personal thing for me to maybe kind of jinx them by saying this, but there's so much talent on that Cubs ball club.
They're building an empire. It's clear. And then, you know, last year we made it all the way to what, the NLCS or you know, and when you have a team that goes that far, you don't mess it up this much. And so, you know, I know that we've got the farm system that we pull from, but when you lose, you know, and Cruz wasn't really one of the main players, but, you know, Jay and Hayward and Lackey, when you start messing up something that was so good last year, you know, you're going to get burned.
Well, the thing...
Well, and I think this really hammers home. You saw the return that Atlanta got when they traded away Shelby Miller this year. And I think that's what's going to hurt us more is now... Not only do we not have Jason Hayward, we don't have Shelby Miller.
Which is who we traded for Hayward, right?
Right.
Yep.
Good God.
Yep. And that was a kid who I really think could have turned in to the next Wainwright, Carpenter type of dominant pitcher.
Right. And, you know, Hayward, what an ass. Did you see his quote when he left? Something about how our core of players is old and, you know, just, ugh.
Well, I mean, he makes sense, but there's got to be a more gracious way or tactful way to say that. He's right, though.
Isn't he a veteran, though? Do you not have one?
He's 26 years old.
Okay, well, if you have that little class, you don't belong on the Cardinals anyway. So, see ya. Nice knowing
you. You know what? There are two types of pro athletes in this world. There's the athletes that get the public relations side of the sport, which is a big part of it.
Right.
As much as you do on your field, court, or rink, there's just as much that you have to do off.
Right.
And then there's the players who don't. And I think Hayward just falls into that category.
Yeah.
Of,
and some of those guys are really fun. You know, some of those guys are really fun. I love their honesty. I love that they say whatever they feel. But I don't know. I just thought that we offered a lot to Hayward. And so given the fact that we offered him a lot and, you know, we gave him a great team and he just seemed pretty, you know, disrespectful from all of it. So he can go hang out with who's that other a-hole? Yasiel Puig.
Hey, now.
Just a giant douche.
Do you know that I had the chance to trip him and I didn't? So I was shooting a wedding. This was like 3 years ago when the Cardinals are playing the Dodgers, and it was like, it was right before he turned into like a King Kong a-hole. He was still just like a baby a-hole. And I was shooting a wedding at the Westin, which is like connected to the ballpark.
Right.
And it was the morning of like a huge game, and opened the elevator and here he comes walking out, and I've got my bag and my tripod, and it crossed my mind, I should trip him. I'll be a St. Louis hero if I hurt him. And I, of course,
awesome.
Of course, I didn't really do it, and I didn't have the balls to do it. But then he turned into like a big jerk, and I always regret not tripping him.
He's still a kid.
No, he's not.
He's 22 years old.
Well, you know what? Robbie Fabry is 20 years old, and he's not
hockey
acting
and,
like an idiot.
Hockey and baseball are different, and the fact he's from Cuba, for crying out loud.
You know what? Speaking of hockey and being immature, Haas, we're going to go to break real quick here in a second. Now, how close are you to my house? Are you swimming yet? Are you moving?
No, I'm in some random neighborhood in St. Peter's, stuck behind about 60 cars with about 65 more behind me.
Okay, well, just pull over. I think that we'll have you hang for like one more break, and then I've got a guest coming in, so then I think we should be able to handle the rest of the show without you. But yeah, pull over, be safe doing the show. I'm happy to have you as my new co-host. I'm disappointed that you skipped work the very first day.
I know, right?
Way to make a good impression.
I'm calling in sick.
That's it. Whatever. All right, we'll be right back. It is the Kelly Mano Radio Show. So I ain't holding nothing back, and I got five on the 20. Just like that, and as a matter of fact, cause I never hesitate to put a gun on his back. Yeah, so keep out the manuscript. You see that it's a must we drop gangsta. What's the name? Snoop Dogg and Tom. Yeah. Snoop
Dogg and Tom. The Kelly Mano Show. Sassy, classy, and a little smartassy.
Okay, the classy part might be a stretch. It's the Kelly Mano Show.
The Kelly Mano Show is proudly brought to you by Thrive. If you have been looking for a little bit of weight loss, if you have been losing the energy you used to have in maybe your 20s or early 30s, Thrive is the answer for you. My friend Carol has been doing it. This girl, she works two jobs. She's a flight attendant. She's a photographer. She's a mom. And I ran into her recently, and she looks like how we did in high school.
Right.
And I'm like, what are you doing and how are you doing it? And she talked to me about Thrive. Thrive is kind of like a multi-level product company where you've got these capsules you can take, you've got the powders you can take, and my favorite thing is the patch, because the patch is like a no maintenance thing. You slap it on your skin, it gives you energy throughout the day. It helps curb your appetite. The capsules are easy to swallow if you're like me and you don't like swallowing pills. The funny part was when they asked me to put the patch on a lean area of my upper body. I actually did find somewhere. I put it on my forearm, just so everybody knows. And actually, you know, the product Thrive is so intense that some people have to kind of ease into it. And so I know Gary's been trying it.
Yeah, I've tried it. It definitely gave me a boost that middle of the morning.
Yes.
You know, right before lunch, you're like.
Yep. I call it my 2:30 wake up, because 2:30 is the time of day where lunch is kicking in and I'm just getting kind of tired. And Thrive is great for that. Carol is awesome. I've got a link to her website where you can go sign up, and I'm going to put that later today at kellymano.com. But you can also text her. Like I said, she's a flight attendant, so she's in the air quite a bit. But if you want to ask Carol more about Thrive and how you can get a sample, make sure you tell her that you heard about it on the Kelly Mano Radio Show. Her phone number is 618-531-5992. Gary, what is that number again?
It's 618-531-5992.
1, 2, 3, come on. We got DJ Kool and Dougie Fresh. Rock it to the beat, cause we are the best. We got Dougie Fresh and Biz Markie. Hey. Rock it to the beat and the place to be. We got Biz Markie and DJ 20. So hit me with the horns and make that money. Let me see those hands again.
Hey, Hoss.
Yes, ma'am.
Were you here when we talked about my fart gun?
No.
I got a fart gun for my birthday.
That's awesome.
It's amazing. Listen. So now I can do farts anytime I want.
That's my favorite thing ever.
I know. I just love that my friend saw this and thought of me. I cannot get enough of the farting. So we are like coming up on New Year's here. It's like right around the corner.
I'm aware.
Do you make any kind of like resolutions or anything?
I don't, because I feel like resolutions are basically just things that you know you need to do but won't do anyway.
Exactly. That's why I don't make them either.
Yeah, so I just try to, like, you know, improve each year better from the year before that.
I guess that's what I'm going to try to do, too. They say the number one is
keep
always...
the hustle.
Yeah, the number one is always lose weight.
Right.
You know?
Right.
I'm not going to try to do that. That's not fun. I only do fun stuff.
I mean, I'm going to try.
Yeah?
But, you know, it's going to be hard. Like, I have a membership to a gym, and I haven't gone a lot the last month just because I've been on the road and under the weather a little bit. But
yeah,
I know that this time next week, the gym's going to be chaos with
yes.
all the New Year's resolution people.
You know what I need to do? I need to find a gym that has a treadmill wide enough to ride a hoverboard on, because I'm going to make a video of all the different things I can do on my hoverboard. I was vacuuming on it over the weekend. I'm going to go power grocery shopping tonight and just like zoom nice. Through the aisles. And then I thought, what if I went to a gym for a workout and just rode my hoverboard on a treadmill?
Have you added get blown up to that list of things you can do in your hoverboard?
No, but what was that article you sent me earlier today that said to throw it away?
So apparently Amazon is telling people in both the UK and the US
yeah.
to recycle your hoverboards because they are unsafe and can blow up without notice.
Listen, that sucker was $450. I am not recycling it. Blow up or not.
Well, apparently... you should look into it, because apparently Amazon is giving refunds.
Oh, they are? Because
so
that's where I got it.
Maybe. I'm not condoning working the system.
Oh, honey,
maybe
I'm... yeah.
You can keep your hoverboard and still get a refund.
That is the best idea I've ever heard. And that is such a mano thing to do. So that's
I'm
a great idea. Gary, will you look that up after the show?
I absolutely will. And I will say this, though, because... I read the article,
yeah,
and it has to do with the UK compliant plug, like the European plug.
Right.
You can buy adapters for
yeah.
those things to make it okay to where it won't blow up.
Well,
so, but Amazon
well,
doesn't need to know that.
Didn't it also say something about if you're in the US and your plug-in is clover shaped?
It did.
I don't know what that means.
And I don't think mine is. Mine is just round. But
got it.
I love it, and I'm not getting rid of it.
Not to charge it overnight and leave it unattended. Because I guess, from what I understand, what's happening is, it sounds like it is a problem with the battery doesn't know when to shut off the charging.
Right.
So if you're leaving it plugged in unattended overnight, it's just going to keep charging an already charged battery and eventually just blow it up.
Right. So apparently these people in Japan took like a battery used to power like a cell phone and stuck it in a hoverboard, which is like a 40-pound motorized device.
Right.
And so we don't charge it when we're not home, and we only charge it when we're here. But we love it. I'm not getting rid of it. We do have good homeowners insurance, so hopefully the hoverboard does not burn down my house. An announcement over the weekend that made me super pissed off. I had tickets to go see Janet Jackson. She canceled her first show, and now she's canceled her second one. She says, "Hey, you guys, happy holidays to each and every one of you. I need to let you know that my doctor said that I must have surgery soon, and it breaks my heart to tell you that I'm forced to postpone the Unbreakable tour." So she needs, like, some kind of vocal surgery. She doesn't even sing. We're not here to watch you sing, Janet.
It runs in the family, doesn't it?
I put on your freaking military suit and do Rhythm Nation. That's why I'm coming anyway. I knew better to buy tickets.
On the plus side, LaToya just announced 8 shows at the casino.
Oh, I wish my husband was here, because he has a really funny story about Stephen D.C. when LaToya Jackson called him up and cussed him out. But I almost
she
didn't.
She is crazy.
She is crazy. I bet we could get her on the show really easy. She will do an interview with anybody.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, I almost didn't buy tickets to Janet, because I'm like, she's flaky. She's going to, you know, bail on the tour just like her brother. It's the same reason that I won't get tickets to go see Bieber. He's coming to town in the spring.
Well, to be fair, wonder if Michael's dead.
Yeah, if he was alive, he'd still be canceling shows. It's really no different.
True.
You know, and, you know, I really wanted to, like, give her a chance to have a big comeback, and it's not happening. She's a flake, as always. And then, you know, end of the year, Haas, you know, you're a big music guy, so I saved this for you. Billboard always announces, like, the top 100 songs of the year. Have you checked it out yet?
I have not, because I am hella on vacation, but I am very curious on what's on them now.
So I started with number 8. So Billboard's Hot 100 ranked their most popular songs of 2015. Coming in at number 8 is Silento with Watch Me, also known as The Whip.
Oh, that song! Oh, my God!
Watch Me Whip. Oh. No, Watch Me Nay Nay. No, what? You're just jealous because you can't do it.
True.
Yeah.
Watch me beat a kid up. Like that. Oh, my God.
I love that song. Number 7, Taylor Swift with Blank Space. I thought Shake It Off would be bigger, but maybe Shake It Off was 2014?
Yeah, I think that was the end of 2014.
Yeah, so Blank Space.
Yeah.
Number 6, biggest song of the year, Walk the Moon, Shut Up and Dance. My kids love that one.
Love that. I thought it would be bigger.
Yeah, number 5 is Sugar, Maroon 5.
Another good song.
A huge song. Oh. Now, there's one that's on the list. I'm sure I've heard it, but I can't think of what it is, so I had Gary look it up. Fetty Wap with Trap Queen. Do you know that song, Haas?
Oh, yeah.
Gary, well, play
the only reason I know that song is because Fetty Wap is signed to a label that's the same as one of my bands.
Oh.
I do know the song. It is straight hip-hop.
Gary, play it for me. Let me hear a little bit of it. Oh, I know this song.
Yeah.
All right. I wouldn't have thought it would be in the top 100, but.
It was huge this year. They got a couple of Grammy nominations.
All right. You better turn that off before they start cussing. Man, I feel like I just lost some of my rap street cred for not knowing that song. What a loser I am. Number 3 is Wiz Khalifa, See You Again.
There's no H, by the way, in Wiz Khalifa.
Well, spell check didn't change it.
There's your street cred of losing again.
Number two, Ed Sheeran. I'm thinking out loud. You like that? You know what song that is?
It's pretty much been the year of Ed Sheeran.
It has. Well, kind of, because you know who number 1 is? If you guys had to guess, now not Gary because he can see, but Haas, who do you think number 1 was for the year?
Anything by Taylor Swift.
Nope.
Not really.
Okay.
I'm going to play it.
You probably can't hear that.
Oh.
I can hear a little bit of it. I hear drums.
This is the ice cold Michelle.
Oh my God, Bruno Mars.
Yeah, he had a huge year. Did they sue him? I know they talked about it, but did they actually sue him?
They should, he says.
No, they didn't, but that is a straight out Morris Day in the Time song.
Yeah, I think my husband agrees with you. I don't care. I love the song.
Well, but it's Mark Ronson's anyway.
It's one of those songs that you really don't get sick of.
Right, you can't.
You know? So, all right, well, that is Billboard's number 1 song of the year. Haas, I'm going to let you turn around and go home. I feel really bad for you. I'm scared you're going to get swept away in a flood, and they don't make life preservers for Bigfoot, so.
And she really doesn't want me as the co-host.
One hand and a snorkel in the other.
All right. Well, I'm going to let you go home. Hopefully, we will not have torrential rain for next weekend's show. And you can come in and celebrate being the new co-host with me.
I do have gifts. I just couldn't get them to you today.
You have gifts?
Yeah, for you and Gary.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
I'm so excited. Okay, maybe he should keep coming.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. Haas, we will catch up with you next week. I'm really excited to have you on board with the show. And go ahead and head back home. Go see Tori and the kids or mom and dad, wherever you're headed, and enjoy the rest of your day.
Bye, guys.
All right.
Thank you.
Bye,
see
Haas.
See ya.
All right. It is the Kelly Mano Radio Show. We have a special guest coming in next. So stick around. We'll be right back.
Hallelujah. Ooh. Girl, set you hallelujah. Ooh. 'Cause Uptown Funk don't give it to you. 'Cause Uptown Funk don't give it to you. Saturday night and we
The Kelly Mano Show.
The older she gets,
the more she understands Britney's 2007 meltdown.
Back once again, once again.
It's the Kelly Mano Show.
The Kelly Mano Show is proudly brought to you by JM Motors in Granite City, Illinois, representing my hometown. Woo woo! So my Aunt Jackie called me the other day, and apparently my cousin Pootie is looking for a new car. And yes, Pootie. I said Pootie. That's her name. Not really. We call her Pootie. My cousin Pootie. They're like, hey, is JM Motors really as good as you talk about? I'm like, oh my gosh, yes. I'm like, they have been in business for 45 years in Granite City. Nobody stays in business that long without a good reputation. And they will work with just about anybody. If you have good credit, perfect, because they have several local credit unions that will get you financed. But if you don't have great credit, maybe you've fallen on hard times, or you've got a 16-year-old that just got their license and has no credit who needs a car, they are a buy here, pay her lot, and they will finance you themselves. They never buy cars from auction. All of their cars come from dealerships. I've told you before that their lot is humongous. It looks like a new car lot. It's not. They specialized in pre-owned cars, but they have just as many as a big dealership. The best part is that they're only 10 minutes from the Arch. They're right at the outskirts of Granite City. They're so easy to get to. Their address is 2310 Namioke Road in Granite City, Illinois. Make sure you tell them that Kelly Mano sent you, and for their newest inventory on their cars and their vehicles, just go to Facebook and Google JM Motors. It is the Kelly Mano Radio Show, and we have a guest in studio. Her name is Marlena Hope, and welcome her to the show.
Yay.
Hello. So I met Marlena a couple years ago. You hired me to do family photos.
True story.
And you are from where in the St. Louis area?
I grew up out in Eureka.
In Eureka. So I was always jealous of the kids who lived in Eureka because I assumed that they went to Six Flags every week.
We did. And I worked at Six Flags.
You did?
Yes. I worked in the shows.
Did you get to be like in the characters?
I was too tall to be one of the characters, but I was a Looney Tune character escort. And I got to dance with them in the night show with the fireworks. It was very exciting.
It was like secretly like my dream job is to be like a mascot or a cartoon character or like Disney on Ice and be Elmo.
It is until the St. Louis summer humidity kicks in.
Yes.
And then you're in a big furry costume on blacktop with kids pulling on your tail, and it's not so glamorous anymore.
Which reminds me, Gary, I want to do a show with all of the mascots, like Fredbird, Louie, yeah. Rampage, or whatever. I want to get either people who do it currently, or if the companies don't allow, people who've done it previously.
Right.
We can do voice disguise if we want. But if you are listening, and if you know anybody who's ever been Fredbird or Louie or Rampage, email the show, heykelly@kellymano.com, because I want to talk to them. I think it's a fascinating job, and I think that there are a lot of cool questions to ask, like what's the weirdest thing that's ever happened? Have you ever fallen down in the costume?
They do.
They do fall down.
Daffy Duck took a nasty spill.
Oh, my gosh.
Off the stage.
Off the stage?
Kind of scary until she was okay, and then...
In front of the children?
In front of the children.
Did she, like, rip her head off right away?
No, because you can't. So we had to take her back... stage, and
were you like carrying her?
She could walk, but they've got these big feet things,
right?
On their, they've got tennis shoes inside these giant feet, and she just wanted to cry, and we were trying to wave to the kids and let her know it was okay. And then since she was okay, she came back out at the end and waved.
Oh, with like blood dripping down her tights.
No, it was it just scared her because you don't have any peripheral vision, and she fell off the stage. It was only like a 3-foot, 4-foot fall. It wasn't.
When you can't see where you're falling.
Terrifying.
That's really scary.
Yes.
So I have you on the show today because you moved to LA when you were how old?
20.
20. See, that was my plan in life.
Yeah.
And, you know, my whole life I wanted to move to LA. Well, I guess New York, because I wanted to be an MTV VJ. So, like, before they did the stupid I want to be a VJ contest and gave it to that crazy haired guy.
Right.
Like, that, like, I grew up, like, videotaping, like, downtown Julie Brown and, like, coming home and watching her and practicing, and I always thought that I'd end up in like LA being a VJ, and then by the time I was old enough, MTV didn't have VJs anymore.
Oh.
So wah, wah. Get married, have kids, and I'm here, you know, still. But you went to LA. Now you are a writer.
Yes.
Now when did you know that you wanted to be a writer?
It's kind of a funny story. I guess I knew when I was in elementary school, and then I didn't know because, you know, creative writing isn't always taught in schools.
No.
So I kind of thought, you know, English and writing was all about reading, you know, literature and books and writing essays and papers, and that's not my strong suit.
Exactly.
I got to college. I went to University of Illinois in Champaign in the cornfields.
Yep.
And was a theater major. And that's where I started writing plays because I was focusing on directing and I couldn't really find something I wanted to direct. And I had an advisor who sent me toward writing and I hesitantly went toward writing and then I just fell in love with it. I wrote my first play and put it up while I was there in college and it was incredible.
To watch it come to life.
Oh my God. Like people were crying because I'd made them cry. People were laughing because I made them laugh. And I was like, this is it.
It's
and
like you seeing your baby come to life. Like when I started this radio show and people started listening and emailing and saying, we love this show. I'm like, oh my, I like poured my heart and soul into this, into this podcast. So it's amazing. And I know, you know, because I write a little bit and, you know, all throughout, you know, grade school, I didn't make the best grades in English, but whenever there was like a creative writing assignment, like I would win all these contests for the newspaper, like Why I Love My Mom. And, you know, but there's no class for creative writing. No,
there really isn't. And it, you know, when you grow up here, you don't know that people write TV shows
for a living.
Right. You might kind of be aware that maybe the actors aren't just making it up on the spot or somebody wrote that movie, but you don't really think about how did they get there and what do they do? And the cool thing about TV writing is we have a staff. So we sit around a table and we write, collaborate.
You can brainstorm because, you know, with creative writing, sometimes you're on and sometimes you're off. And if I was a blogger for a long time. And if you look at my blog, it's just so sporadic because sometimes I had so much to write about, I couldn't keep up with my own brain. And then there would be like months of radio silence because I just couldn't turn it back on.
Yeah, it's I love the collaboration aspect, but then you also get, you know, I'm off on script right now. And so we've come up with the story together, but it's me with my fingers on the keys making the characters talk.
That is so tell us a little bit of some of the shows that you've worked on.
So when I first moved to Los Angeles, I kind of bounced around. My first production assistant PA gig was on the red carpet at the Oscars. That was really amazing. I got to meet every single star and ask them. I had to walk up to them and say, hi, I'm from the Oscar pre-show fashion segment. Who are you wearing?
Oh my goodness.
And then I would radio it to Stephen Kajikaru, who was the fashion editor for People. And then he would do the little freeze frame thing. That was really cool.
Yeah, that's fun.
And then I worked on Desperate Housewives as a writer's assistant.
I loved Desperate Housewives.
Oh my God, it was wild.
That show was so good. I mean, it kind of went crazy towards the end.
Yeah.
But you know, at the time when that show first came out, nothing else was like it on the air.
It was a hell of an experience.
I bet.
So I did one season there, got my battle stripes, and then I did Reaper on CW.
Yeah.
And got to write my first freelance script there. I did the last two seasons of Friday Night Lights as a script coordinator.
Oh, the football show.
So good. And then one season of Southland, the show. And then I was a staff writer on Army Wives for the last two seasons.
Now, that's cool. That was a show on Lifetime for a while.
It was 7 seasons.
So when you're writing, do you ever, are you like, how in charge of the character are you? Like, have you ever had a character or an actor or actress like disagree with you and say, no, I don't want my character to do this?
Yeah. I mean, there's a tactful way to do it. Mm-hmm. I think the best example, I'll give a Desperate Housewives example because I thought it was really classy the way she handled it, was Felicity Huffman, who's just a delight.
Isn't she sweet?
She's amazing.
And she played Lynette, which was like the normal mom character. She was great.
Great. So this was this was season two. So it was a mom story. And it was one of the boys, I forget which one, they were all P names.
Yes.
One of them had an imaginary friend.
Yep.
And the imaginary friend was represented with an umbrella. It was like a Mary Poppins kind of character for him. And it was supposed to represent that she was a working mom and he was sort of replacing her by having this
umbrella
nanny character, imaginary friend. And she was going to leave. She was in the car, but he was strapped in. And all of a sudden he says, oh no, we forgot the umbrella. And as it was scripted, she was supposed to turn around and scream at him and yell at him.
Right.
And she said, I would never do that.
Right.
I would never scream at my kid. As a mother, I can't do this. We have to find something else. I'm not saying I have the solution. Here are some possible solutions, but I can't do this. I as a woman can't do this, as a mother can't do this, and I don't think my character would do this. And it was a perfect, she gave us that note in enough time that the writers could fix it. And it was, I thought, that is a classy, classy way to give a note, as opposed to just, I don't like this, or this isn't funny.
Right. Which I'm sure you have a lot of that, too. You
probably,
which
I will not tell those stories.
You can tell me off the air. Your secret is safe with me. Right. Have you ever, when do you get to see the final product? Do you get a copy of the shows you write before they go on the air? Or are you in your living room eating popcorn and you're like, oh my God, she did that brilliantly, or he did not do that how I wanted it?
Well, it all depends on the showrunner. So the head honcho in TV is a writer. So it's the head writer. We call that person the showrunner. Sometimes they also created the show. Sometimes the creator is no longer part of the process. So that person, depending on how much, you know, influence they give their staff and what a learning opportunity they allow the show to be for their staff, mm-hmm. you have varying levels of influence. So the showrunner has always seen things and had cuts, but as a staff writer, which is the lowest level, that's where I started out on Army Wives. I was very fortunate to work for a showrunner who gave us a lot of, you know, pull. So we, you know, got to have a voice in who got cast in the role. We got to
go to
set in Charleston, South Carolina, and, you know, watch as it was being filmed and make sure that the tone of certain things was being handled correctly by the director, because every episode is a different director.
Oh, okay.
So it's not as if, you know, we have a producer director who's there all the time, who kind of keeps the tone of the show the same, but the actual director of each show is different
okay.
every episode.
I had no idea. That's really interesting.
Yeah, it's a lot of work for them, but the writer, the showrunner outranks the director. So we've seen early cuts. I've given, you know, my notes. I don't outrank the director. I don't outrank the showrunner, but
right.
I've seen it. So when it airs, I know what's going to be in it, but the actors don't get to see it before it airs. They don't get to know which take we use.
Your job is so cool. I'm going to have so many more questions for you after the show, because I have a little 8-year-old daughter who wants to be an actress.
Yes.
I am so not a theater mom. I am a hockey mom. She goes on castings and I can't cuss them out if she doesn't make it. Like, I don't, you know, I'd be like, skate faster. I can't.
No.
I'm trying to navigate the world as a theater mom. And, you know, she asks me all the time, when are we going to L.A.?
Okay.
When are we going to L.A.? When are we going to L.A.?
Yes.
And so I promised her that when she gets a little bit older, maybe like 10 years old, you know, because she's such a smart kid and she makes straight A's and she does so well at everything. I'm like, you know what? Maybe I will homeschool her for a semester and take her out to, when is pilot season? In January?
Yeah, like January to January, February. The new show I'm working on is, it's called The Kicks on Amazon.
Yes, and it's a kids soccer show.
Kids soccer show.
And I have Amazon, so I have to start watching it. As soon as Lucy gets home, I'm going to have her watch that show.
Well, they've only done the pilot.
The pilot is on there?
Yeah, and I wasn't part of the pilot, but we're going to start filming in February.
You haven't cast it yet?
Well, the show is cast.
Call
not
Jimmy
the other
and tell
episodes.
Get Lucy home right away.
Hurry.
Tell her to bring her soccer ball. Well, is it unrealistic for me to think, I mean, is that what Midwestern moms do with daughters who want to be, I mean, this isn't like a new thing. She's wanted this for years and years and years, and she makes money.
Yeah.
She works here locally. She's got an agent and she does commercials and stuff here in St. Louis. There's just not enough work to keep her happy, but the money she is making, we're setting aside so that when we go to LA for 8 or 10 weeks, one semester, you know, she can help pay for it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I think the big thing I actually love kid actors because they're professionals. I mean, it's amazing what a kid can do when they know they have to.
I am impressed with my own kid. She did this luggage commercial where she had to pull this damn suitcase off the bed 40 times.
Yeah.
And I was in the back of the room going, oh my God, how many more times can you make her do it? And she's just like a grown up on set. And every time she's done a job, I had one director actually asked me to stay behind, and I thought, uh-oh, I'm in trouble. Was I not supposed to take a selfie on set? Like, what did I do? And they're like, your daughter's amazing. She acts like a grown-up, and she's 10 years old, and that's what we look for.
Yes, absolutely.
And do you have room for us on your couch?
Yeah, probably.
Because I'm thinking maybe we could, like, couch surf a little bit.
Right.
You know, because I've got a couple other friends out there. And then, because we might have to couch surf till we find, like, a little studio apartment.
Yeah. Well, there's this one apartment complex called the Oakwoods, and this is where all the kid actors stay for...
What street is that on?
It's on...
Does it start with a B?
Yeah, it's on Barham.
Is it right by where Jay Leno used to film his The Tonight Show?
It's up the hill from Warner Brothers.
Yes, that's where I stayed.
Okay.
So whenever I was in college, I did this Hollywood internship where I went and lived in L.A. for 6 weeks. And those were the apartments I stayed in.
It's they're furnished They are rent by the month apartments, and it's where everybody goes.
Oh, my life is so coming full circle. All right. Well, I'll tell you what. We need to go to like some form of a commercial break.
Okay.
But we'll come back. I have a couple more questions for you, and then because I want to talk about your new show, and anything else that you want to promote, and then yeah, because I could talk about this forever. And I saw Gary getting excited over there. Have you watched some of her shows that she's written?
Oh yeah, Southland was one of my favorite shows. And it really irritates me when you really get invested in a show and then they just say, okay, no, we're done.
Oh.
And they leave a cliffhanger. The end of that show was the two main characters fighting in the parking lot.
Oh,
that was it.
Do you secretly know what was going to happen next?
I don't, because I worked on season 3.
Okay.
But I hate when a series ends on a cliffhanger, and we don't want to do it either.
Because it's like, where do those characters go?
I know. It's so much better when a network tells the show it's going to end and just plans ahead. It's so hard.
It is. And now, do you have friends and family who like really watch the shows that you do and get mad at you?
Absolutely.
Because I would. If my friend was a writer, you know, on one of the shows I watch, which is like The Kardashians.
They don't have writers.
Yeah, no. Well, you
well,
know.
Yeah, they
have story producers.
That horrible momager is some kind of writer.
Yeah.
Like, why can't Kris Jenner fall down an elevator shaft? Put that in The Kardashians. All right, we'll be right back. It is the Kelly Mano Radio Show.
The Kelly Mano Show. The princess of the 90s is now the queen of the minivan carpool. It's the Kelly Mano Show.
You know it ain't no stopping, all the dogs I'm dropping. It's Friday night, so everything is popping. I got skin to spin on the hen. So let the games begin.
It is the Kelly Mano Radio Show. It would help if I turned on my microphone. This is a well-oiled machine, I tell you. I'm here with my friend Marlena Hope. Marlena, how did you hear about my little podcast here that I do?
On Facebook.
On Facebook? And
yes.
So have you had a chance to listen to it before?
I have.
Woohoo!
I've heard many, but not all of them.
Yeah.
Yes.
And
you
so
accompany me in my LA rush hour traffic drive to work on Monday mornings.
I cannot imagine that. I remember when I went to LA for my internship and I called my mom and dad and they're like, how is it? And more importantly, how is the driving? Because I grew up in Granite City, Illinois. I wasn't even allowed on the St. Louis highways. And I go to LA. I'm like, Mom, when I get off my exit, I have to merge 7 lanes in 3/4 of a mile.
Yes.
Like, it's not a joke. Like, I got off the exit, and then my next exit was in 3/4 of a mile, and I had 7 lanes to get across. And I'm from the Midwest, so I'm, like, rolling down my window. I'm like, please, please. I'm, like, making puppy dog faces. And then the whole time I'm here, I'm like, Mom and Dad, I'm like, there are these awesome lanes on the side of the highway with these diamonds on them, and nobody's ever in them. And so I just drive in those all the time. Turns out there are these carpool lanes, and you get gigantic tickets for being in them. And I drove in them for 6 weeks, and nobody caught me.
Yeah.
I'm like,
not advisable.
I'm like, they're awesome. They got these diamonds, and nobody's ever in them. And, you know, I just learned how to get in those lanes. Everybody else is stupid. You know, they all sit in these traffic lanes, and I just get in the diamond one.
Yeah, see, but then sometimes it'll get really bad, and even the diamond lane has traffic.
Right.
Yes.
Or people put like dummies in their passenger seat to make it look like a person.
Happens.
Or just be like me and just do it, and nobody caught me. And if they would have pulled me over, they probably would have felt so sorry for me and how stupid I was, because I couldn't have faked not knowing that.
I don't think they would feel that sorry.
You don't? They'd still give me a ticket?
The highway patrol? I don't think so.
Dang it.
I think
it wouldn't
some
have
of
been Poncherello
photo
and, you know, the guys from Chips. It wouldn't have been those
oh,
guys.
Oh, gosh. That's an old show, right?
Yes.
Gary likes to make all these references to stuff from, like, the 60s. And I'm so
not that old.
Well, I don't know. However, whatever Chips is.
the 70s.
Is that Eric Estrada?
Yeah,
and
see, you know.
Yeah, because he was on some old washed up VH1 reality show. It's like an old star. That's
right.
How I know it.
Exactly.
So Marlena is a writer who lives in LA. She is from here in Eureka. But she's super talented. She has been writing for all these great shows. She's totally going to let me and Lucy sleep on her couch when we come out to LA here in a few years. And I was just asking her off the break if she had seen the movie Love Actually.
Yes.
That is a huge holiday movie.
Many times.
And I've kind of seen it twice. I'm not like addicted to it like a lot of people. I think you've got to be in the right frame of mind to kind of fall in love with a movie like that. But so over the weekend, something kind of cool happened. The director's wife caught it on television and started live tweeting. Now, she had not seen the show for a decade since its original air date. And so she started live tweeting and all these fans started asking her questions and she started answering them. Have you seen this yet?
I haven't.
So if you've seen the movie, first of all, she starts by making fun of all the turtlenecks. I think she's like, turtleneck count 17 at like 20 minutes in. She said, Richard only called Colin Firth's character Jamie so that the kids could say, I hate Uncle Jamie, because his brother is named Jamie.
Hilarious.
Do you ever write like inside jokes into
Absolutely.
Your...
Absolutely.
That is so cool. Yeah. Now I want to be a writer. Can you write Piggy Smalls into your episode?
I can try. It's having an episode with an animal, though, is complicated. You got to have like the animal.
They say
double.
Don't work with kids or animals.
Yes.
And
you have both.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I do have 3 kids and 3 animals. So if you work in Piggy Smalls
I'll see what I can do.
That would
be. How are his soccer skills?
Not very good, but he's kind of gangster.
Okay. Yeah.
Like
yeah.
If you want him like to wear rapper clothes, and he wore a Santa Claus outfit over the weekend. let's see. Remember the housekeeper and the Hugh Grant arriving at downtown, at the Downing Street lineup. That was my mom and still is. She also worked her son into the episode. He's in a little, Spider-Man makeup.
Love it.
Oh, and her daughter was in a, that is Scarlett there on the right. Not even joking, in like some kind of lobster outfit. The streets look like the streets of London, but everything was shot on a green screen.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, they can do so much now.
Right. And usually that looks pretty fake, but I guess I thought they were in London. Just in case you were worried, Martin Freeman had a little sock on his willy. Is there a part where somebody's naked?
Oh.
Maybe it's a sex scene?
I
don't remember. Gary.
Clearly, but.
Google Martin Freeman Wiener Love Actually. Okay, and tell me what you come up with.
Okay.
So the director's wife hated Mia, who was the hot secretary, right?
Oh,
that was Alan Rickman had a relationship with her, and she said, you know that bit when Alan Rickman's secretary in the office parts her legs in his direction? It still makes me want to puke. And again, this is all her watching it together. Right. And how fun for these fans.
So great.
Could you imagine if like Friends was on and some of the writers were, you know, talking to... That would be the coolest thing. Oh, and people were asking, did he actually have an affair? I guess, is Alan Rickman the character or the actor?
Actor.
He's the actor. So he was the older guy with the older wife, and he got the necklace for his secretary. But they never actually came out and said whether or not an affair happened. Mm-hmm. And she confirmed, yes, he did cheat on her, definitely had an affair. She begged her husband to make it different. She wanted it to just be flirtation. He said no. They had a full-blown affair, and they did stay together, but things were never the same. Joni Mitchell helped, still hurt. Oh, sat on the floor watching that scene. Yeah, I guess, have you ever watched your actors do a really difficult scene that you write? To, like, get, like crying on the floor? And
yeah.
Is that hard for you to make them do that?
I mean, it's the job. Yeah. I would say, I mean... Jesse McCartney had to do a pretty good...
I love him!
He did a really great, great scene in Army Wives that I wrote where he was just crying and breaking down. And I saw I wasn't on set for it. Yeah. I saw the dailies and I was like, holy cow.
Been about a year now. Ain't seen or heard from you. I've been missing you, baby. See, if you...
He's missing you too.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Is he going to make any more music?
I think he is making
music.
He
was like the greatest thing since Hanson.
He is... pretty great. He's also a really sweet guy and a talented actor.
Have you ever met Donnie Wahlberg?
I haven't met Donnie Wahlberg.
You should go work on Blue Bloods.
Oh,
they're in New York, aren't they?
Yeah, they're. I think they're... Well, I don't know where the writer's room is, but...
That is amazing. She also said that she designed the kiss between Colin Firth and the Portuguese girl. Her signature move was the thumb on her lip before they snog.
Oh.
I guess snogging is kissing.
Hope so.
Oh, there it is. Oh, that's hot. Gary, did you find out anything about the wiener?
Yeah. Well, now again, full disclosure, I've never seen the movie.
All right.
Don't know. But what I'm gathering is these two characters, Martin Freeman's character.
Okay.
And I guess his wife met on set as stand-ins in the movie, in a erotic drama.
Oh.
And so I guess there was a scene in the movie where they
and
were...
she's saying that he did have a sock on his willy.
Right.
Oh, like Marlene, have you ever written a sex scene?
I have. Well, I mean, I've written like... it's here's how it was on Army Wives. They kiss, they fall out of frame. That was,
that
you
was
know,
it?
Maybe they wake up with like the L-shaped sheet that covers the woman to her armpits and the man to his waist.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I never noticed that shape before.
Yeah. That's it. I've never written anything super saucy because I've been on... you know,
but you
basic
have
cable.
Friends who have, I'm sure.
Oh yeah.
So let me ask you this. We hear a lot of times when somebody writes a sex scene that is it true that there have been times when the actors actually have sex?
You know, I've heard these rumors, but I
heard that a lot about Halle Berry and Billy Bob Thornton.
Yes.
Monsters Ball. And I can't think of the other ones, but does that really happen? Or is that just us Midwest people being really bored?
I think it's a bit of boredom.
Okay.
I mean, I think at that point it's just porn.
Yeah.
You know,
don't they have some kind of modesty patch that they wear?
Yes, there
and
is.
What is the modesty patch?
I had a friend who definitely had to wear one. It's basically a triangle of cloth with two sort of bands around the legs so that the bottom is still unobstructed, but the, you know, and maybe they digitally take it
basically
out.
So that you can have a sex scene without their uglies actually bumping.
Right.
Instead, they're bumping their
patches.
Their patches. Oh my gosh. How awkward.
Yeah.
Yep. I am so glad I'm not an actress.
Yes.
I have the maturity of a seventh grader.
you'd break character. Like there'd be like 900 takes.
Oh
yeah.
Do you have like a favorite celebrity story? Do you have any celebrities? I mean, you said you went to the Oscars.
I did. I mean, that was just like, I was 20 years old and I was totally overwhelmed. I do have a good story because I think it has a good moral to it.
Okay.
So I went to this backyard barbecue. It was totally random. I was just a friend of mine who's an actor.
Sure.
Going to a friend of hers who's a director. I'm sort of just going, I don't know. Walk in. And there's like 12 people, backyard barbecue down by this gorgeous
Sorry. My mom likes to call during the
Hi,
show.
Hi, Mom.
Hang on just a second. Let me just see what she wants. Hang on. Hey, Mom. Mom? Did she butt dial me again? Mom? This is the story of my life. I do a show once a week at the exact same time. And she calls me at least twice a show. Okay, I think that's a butt dial.
Official butt dial.
All right, yeah. So you're okay. At a barbecue.
Right, it's nighttime, it's dark. We go out this back of this house, twinkly lights, pool, down these stairs, and there's like 12 people. I walk over, the first person I meet is Rebel Wilson. I was like, oh, hi.
Oh.
Hi, Rebel Wilson.
Yeah, I'm not such a fan of her, but maybe in real life she's nicer.
She was nice. I mean,
yeah, okay.
We were just like hanging out. It was weird because it was so like casual.
Yeah.
Whatever. Okay, hi. And then we're sort of talking and there's some people behind us sort of sitting on these lawn chairs and I can't quite see. Again, it's dark. It's night. I don't know. And then I hear from behind me, oh, I'm sorry, we're being so rude. We haven't even said hello. And I turn around, me and my friend, we turn around and... she goes, hi, I'm Jen, and puts her hand out. And I take her hand, and I say out loud, hi, I'm Marlena, but instead I'm filling in my brain, Iffer Lawrence.
That's Jennifer Lawrence?
Jennifer Lawrence is,
oh
like, apologizing for not having said hello to us.
Now, how long ago was this?
This was last year.
Okay,
last summer.
So she's been around for a while now.
Yeah, and it was, like, her and her pal, Mandy Kaling, sitting next to her. Hi, I'm Mindy.
I love Mindy.
It was really great. And they were just super sweet and normal and fun, and we hung out, and... the craziest story from that night that I think is what when people are like, oh, my God, Jennifer Lawrence. And if I remember, I would freak out. I'm like, OK, here's the thing. Because she said she has a friend who's sort of her assistant, I guess. And she said, the friend said, the car is coming tomorrow at 10:30.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, I thought the interview was at the house because she lived next door. That's why she was at this party.
Oh, okay.
She's literally a next door neighbor. And she said, I thought the interview was at the house. And she said, oh, it is. This is your car is coming. And she explained to us that she has to change cars, like, every 3 to 4 weeks.
Wow.
Because the paparazzi find out what she's driving. So she said, I just want the most common, normal, whatever car in the normal color so that nobody knows who I am. And she keeps having to change cars.
Oh my goodness. I never thought about that.
Right? Like, that's the dark side of being a celebrity, that's like, just leave her alone. You know, like, because chasing her up the street and she had to move into a, you know, gated community with security. And it's like, we all have this glamorous image of what it is to be a celebrity, but you know,
it's just gone so far, like the last 10 years. I mean, it's just been amazing how the celebrities are treated, because, you know, there's a certain kind of celebrity like the Kardashians who they put it out there. They can't complain about people chase them. But then there's people who literally just love the art of acting.
Right.
And part of acting is fame.
Yeah.
You know, like Leo DiCaprio is really famous for that. And for a long time, people just thought he was a big jerk until they kind of got that he's like, no, you don't understand. I love acting. It's my passion, but I don't want the celebrity side of it.
Right.
And I think some people love the celebrity side of it, and that's okay.
That's fine, too. But yeah, if you're not asking for it, if you're just trying to go down the street and get back, you know, and the other thing she said, you know, she wanted to see a movie that was out. And she's like, if I want to see a movie, I have to rent out a theater. I can't just go to the movies. I can't just think about all the things you take for granted. Like, you know, you're like, oh, I hate going to the grocery store. I'm sure she would love to just go to the grocery store. You know, like, it's all that stuff that, you know, being able to.
Because now they'll zoom in on what's in your cart. They'll zoom in on your receipt. I mean, like, they will find the craziest thing.
Right.
Or they will find, you know, of course, the worst angle, or a day you didn't shave your armpits. But Jennifer Lawrence seems like the kind of girl that would let that roll off her back.
She would. But, you know, like, here's how I describe it. Like, you ever been in somewhere and somebody comes up to you and they think they recognize you, but they really don't. You don't actually know each other.
Yeah.
It's a mistaken identity.
Yeah.
And when that happens to you, when you're a normal person, they just go, oh God, I'm so sorry.
Right.
Imagine if every time that happened, it was really happening. They really did think they know you, and it would happen all day, every day, everywhere you went.
And people are ruthless.
They think they know you.
Yes, they do. And, you know, even just something as little as this show or having a blog I had, you know, anytime you put yourself out there in the public, you are just opening yourself up to the anonymous haters.
Yes.
These vile people that, you know, are behind their computers and they're typing these filthy things. And, you know, it really bothers my family way more than it bothers me. Earlier this year, my little girl, when the Blues traded TJ Oshie, she threw herself in the closet and was crying, and I took a little video of it. And within the next day, it had 500,000 views.
Yeah.
And the YouTube comments were just awful. Some of them were directed at me, which is fine because I'm a grown up, but some of them were directed at her.
Yeah.
And we finally had to turn them off because I had to explain to my mom. I'm like, these are losers behind a computer. They don't know Libby Lou. They don't know. And so I feel like I have really thick skin.
But I
would be a good celebrity.
There you go.
Yeah, I just don't know what people are getting out of it. You know,
I don't
because
either.
Being on sort of the other side, luckily being a writer, people don't necessarily know. I mean, you can find me on Twitter and write something nasty. I hated your Army Wives episode, but I'm not going to get a lot of it. You know, even really well-known writers, people don't recognize their faces, so there's that. But I do have friends that are actors and celebrities, and just seeing what they write about them, it's like, what are you getting out of this? I don't understand that internet. You know, that troll mentality.
I feel the same thing. It also happens with a lot of our athletes, even like the local athletes. People are so quick to jump on somebody and play Monday morning quarterback and, you know, he sucks or this sucks. And it's like, dude, that person worked their whole life to get where they are.
Yeah.
And trust me, they didn't want to play a bad game.
No.
You think they wanted to mess that up or miss that shot? No.
Right. Is somebody going to come to your job and tell you how to be a bank teller and write nasty things about you, people you've never met? You'd feel awful.
No,
Yeah.
I've got a really nasty thing I could say, but I'm trying to watch my language. Well, you know, speaking more along the celebrity lines, you know, we're getting ready to, you know, have the New Year's here, the big count. And are you going to be back in LA for New Year's?
I'm actually staying here for New Year's, which I haven't done in a long time. My dad's going out of town, so I'm just going to hang out with my mom. She goes to these friends she's been with forever, and I thought I'm just going to do a low key St. Louis.
That is
New
the
Year's.
Best way to do it. That's what we do. And so, but Google recently announced for, you know, New Year's, their most searched celebrity of the year. Now, this does not include deaths. So
okay.
It does not include dead people.
Live people.
Right. Only live people. Okay. So number 10, Josh Duggar.
Oh,
God, why?
Pervert. Number 9, Adele.
Okay.
Number 8, Rachel Dolezal.
Yeah.
Is that the girl that pretended to be black?
Yes.
Oh, my God. Number 7, Brian Williams. He had kind of a credibility
issue.
Mm-hmm. Number 6, Charlie Sheen with his big HIV admission. No. Number 5, Ruby Rose. She was the super hot lesbian on Orange is the New Black.
Yes.
She looks like a female Justin Bieber. She's turning straight women gay every day. I would just rather crush on Justin Bieber. Number four, Donald Trump. No surprise there. Number three, Ronda Rousey. Number two, Caitlyn Jenner. I thought she would be number one. Do you guys have any guesses who number one is? Most Googled celebrity of 2015.
I'm going to say T-Sizzle.
Oh, Taylor Swift? Yeah. No.
I would think people are always Taylor Swifting.
For Google, they are Googling Lamar Odom. He was.
Well, that was basically just like a 2 week.
Well, and he was almost dead. I mean, they didn't.
He almost didn't make the list.
He almost didn't make number one. Right. So, so there's your 10 most Googled celebrities. And we'll be right back with some more New Year's talk. It is the Kelly Mano Radio Show.
Chase the cat, or settle for a hood rat. Dookie braids, no dreadlocks. Flying in and out of town with half a chicken in a cock. And I love her, cause she down to fuck around with the underground. Poppy ham, and her ass is big, round and wide. Jacked up, make it looking down the ride.
The Kelly Mano Show.
Come on!
Mondays suck a little bit less.
Because the Kelly Mano Show is on the air.
Marlena, my husband and I almost broke into a house over the weekend. Do you think that is frowned upon?
I think it's discouraged.
Well, it was vacant. We are on the hunt. We are moving to a new house. We have a fabulous real estate agent, Rachel Witt at Remax. And we, she takes us to all these homes. And we just got a wild hair to go visit this one that we really, really liked. And it happened to be vacant. And Rachel was not with us, by the way. and we just fell in love with it. And we may have turned a couple doorknobs just to check if it was open. And it was not.
No, not you.
So then I did the right thing. And I emailed our awesome real estate agent, Rachel Witt. And I said, get us in this house as soon as possible. So she's going to get us in either later today or tomorrow. And hopefully whoever owns it is not frowning upon the fact that we tried to see it early. But we are moving. We love using Rachel Witt. She's a veteran in the business. But Rachel's become more of like a friend to us. You have to, when you're buying a house, you spend a lot of time with your agent. And if your personalities don't get along well, you're going to have a really rough time. Rachel is all about service. She is so great with all of her clients. A lot of people are upside down on their houses right now, including the Manos. And it's not our fault that what the market did. We've made every mortgage payment. We have great credit. But things change. They're not in your control. I thought we would never be able to move. And her finance team is amazing. If you are interested in buying or selling your home, call Rachel Witt today. You can check her out online at homesalesinstcharles.com or give her a call at 636-720-3836. Make sure you tell her that you heard about her on the Kelly Mano Show so I can keep buying myself pretty things. Marlena, give them that number one more time.
That is
636-720-3836. I like the way you do that right there.
It is the Kelly Mano Radio Show. So, Marlena, when you are out in L.A., do you brag to all the L.A. people that our St. Louis rappers are way better than theirs? You don't strike me as a rap listener.
I'll look for an opportunity.
You strike me more as like a Sarah McLachlan.
No, I mean, I like something with a beat.
Yeah, like a little chingy.
I have an eclectic taste.
Right there. I love our St. Louis rappers. And every time, I remember Amy Schumer just came to town and played Scott Trade. And she tweeted, she's like, I've been in St. Louis 4 hours and I've not seen Nelly yet. She's like, what is wrong? I'm like, I feel the same way.
He should just greet you at the airport.
He should. Yeah. I mean, he's not busy or anything, right? He's only in court every other week for like having a busful of heroin. And he got off on those charges again.
Right.
God, like how cool must it be to have like somebody just to take the rap for you all the time? I mean, really.
Well, you know, everybody's got to have a fall guy.
Gary, will you take the rap? If I get arrested for making reindeers hump in people's lawns like I did last weekend, will you take the rap for me?
As long as you're paying bail.
Are you a ride or die producer?
Oh, I'm ride or die. Because
if you got to be ride or die with Kelly Mano, because I do a lot
ride
of...
Ride or die.
Part of your job description is to stop me from doing stupid things or take the fall when I do. Speaking of heroin, I found this really cool list. Actually, Haas sent it to me of the way things were 100 years ago. So we are in 2015. We are getting ready to change the calendars over to 2016. which will screw all of us up, and we'll write the wrong date on our checks for like at least 6 weeks.
Checks? What are those?
I know. I still write them. I'm a grandma. But, you know, 100 years ago, things were really, really different. And so back in 1915, here are some of the things that were normal for that time of, what is it, year? That time of life? That time of the decade? Century.
That
it's a century.
That time.
100 is a century. The average life expectancy for a man was 47 years old. Gary, you'd already be dead.
No, not yet.
Not yet?
I'm
okay.
I'm going to be 45.
You would be on your last leg of life.
Right.
Yes. The maximum speed limit was 10 miles an hour. I have said all along that our speed limits are way too high. And we're used to them now. We would not know any different if from the day that cars were invented, the highest speed limit was 40 miles an hour. We'd never know any different, and there'd be a lot less dead people. Don't you think?
We never drive over 40 miles an hour, so.
You don't? Oh, yeah, in L.A., you don't have that problem.
Sounds about right.
You know, and also I've said, okay, this is reason number like 400 why I should be president. Why don't our cop cars go faster than our street cars? Like, every street car ever made should only go to, like, what is the highest mileage in United States? Like, 75 miles an hour?
Right.
If that's the highest speed limit, why do any of our personal cars go above that? And all police cars should go to 95. Doesn't that just make sense?
You will, yeah.
Just admit that you are impressed with my genius right now. Seriously, Marlena, is that not very smart?
Well, yeah.
I mean,
the highway patrol. You know, in the city streets, you don't need to go 95 miles an hour.
No, but just...
But the police cars, if you notice what police cars are, they're Dodge Chargers, they're Mustangs, they're Camaros. They're not driving a Toyota Camry.
No, I mean, but our cars should not be able to go faster than theirs. It should be illegal to have a motorcycle that goes 120 miles per hour if you're not a professional racer. You know, if you're not doing it for a living and you're on a track and you're doing it safely. But these people that are going 110 miles an hour down the highway and killing people shouldn't be allowed to do it. Why do our cars go that fast?
Mano for president.
Mano for president. Number reason. I got to tell you my airplane story later, too. I got to wait to stop all that. Because airplanes need giant parachutes. The average wage was 22 cents an hour. The average person earned about $300 a year. So right about on par with you, Gary, producing this show.
That's about all I get. You got it. On target.
The leading cause of death was pneumonia, influenza, tuberculosis, diarrhea, heart disease, and stroke. Now, the heart disease thing surprises me because I would think that they ate pretty healthy back in 1915. Weren't they still killing their own stuff back then?
Is that the only cause of heart disease?
Oh, well, I thought that was the main cause was diet and, you know, all the crap we put in our body.
I was a theater major.
Back then they were like chewing on trees and bushes and stuff. So mm-hmm. That surprises me. The diarrhea thing. People died from diarrhea.
You get dehydrated.
Okay, no, I'm coming over to read that.
Why?
It's
right here.
Oh, they're okay.
Maybe it was all at once. Maybe if you had all those things at once, you'd die.
That would suck.
I
couldn't even handle pneumonia, the flu, and diarrhea in like 2015,
yeah.
Let alone back then. 2 out of every 10 adults could not read or write. Most women washed their hair once a month. I know some people who are still on that schedule. Us girls can be really gross, and we don't admit it.
Right. That's what hats are for.
Dry shampoo is the greatest thing ever invented.
Ever.
So here's where the heroin ties into this. Marijuana, heroin, and morphine were all available over the counter. Back then, pharmacists said that heroin clears the complexion and gives buoyancy to the mind. It also regulates the stomach and bowels and is the perfect guardian of health. So when did we take a wrong turn, and did people not abuse it back then? Did they just take what was prescribed, or...
Maybe they weren't shooting it into their veins.
Maybe that's what it was.
That's probably it. And they probably were, you know, it probably was not quite as potent, maybe.
Yeah.
Mixed with other stuff.
Right. Because, let's be realistic here. I'm sure that whatever people are shooting into their arms is not just straight heroin.
No, it's got to be. I don't know. I don't even know what you do with different drugs. I do know that heroin you shoot, mm-hmm. In like a needle, but like all like the crack and then the coke and the whatever. I don't know what you snort, what you swallow, what you shoot.
I watched Intervention for a while so that I could be up on my
street drug knowledge.
Drug knowledge for writing. You gotta know these things.
Oh, you do, I guess. And then also, 100 years ago, 18% of households had a domestic servant, which surprises me because I would think moms were a lot maybe less busy then. I don't want to say less busy, but like June Cleaver did not have to do carpool and worry about cyberbullying.
But she also didn't have a washing machine or a dishwasher.
That's where it is. That's why. Okay, that makes a lot of sense. And also, there were only 230 reported murders in the entire United States. It's because everybody was on heroin and morphine. And morphine. You know that morphine? That morphine is really good for you. But really, 230 murders in the entire United States? Dude, St. Louis, like, caps that in, like, March. Right?
Something like
Am
that.
Am I right?
When it gets like warm, that. Everybody comes out and does their murders.
I guess so. But really, I think it's because everybody was on all those drugs. I mean, that makes the most sense to me. But as we go into this new year, and I get my song started here, one last thing I want to talk about before we go is celebrity breakups. This was the year of the celebrity breakup. Now, do you follow Hollywood news, Marlena, since you're there in it?
I have mixed emotions. I follow it.
Yeah.
But, you know.
You probably don't buy the tabloids like I do.
I don't purchase the tabloids, no.
You just read them in line and put them back?
No. I just see all the crap people post on Facebook.
Oh, there you go.
There you go.
That's free.
Yeah.
So obviously one of the first breakups of the year was Ben Affleck and Jennifer Garner.
I was sad about that one.
I was very sad. 10 years of marriage and the cause? The hot nanny.
I know.
When are these celebrities going to stop hiring hot nannies?
But I did see something on one of the rag magazines.
Yeah.
They spent the holidays together.
Yeah, but I think that's just for the kids. There's no
talk.
They
were holding hands.
Oh, well, I don't know. And of course, the one that rocked me the most, Gwen and Gavin. 13 years of marriage, another cause, the nanny. And Gavin being an ass. You know, and her and Blake are still growing strong. I'm not liking it. It's starting to worry me.
I don't know how I feel about that.
No, like at first I thought it was cute because it was just a rebound. But now she's like fixing her hair like Carrie Underwood and she's wearing nude lipstick and like going hunting. And I'm like, Gwen, what the hell's wrong with you?
Yeah, wearing camo hats.
Yes, yes.
Trucker hats.
She is my everything. Like I can't lose the Gwen Stefani that's Gwen Stefani. She's got to throw away that nude lipstick. That's for the Kardashians.
It's bananas.
It is. It's BNNA. Have you ever met Gwen?
I have not met Gwen.
I've met Gwen a couple times. I melted down like a Michael Jackson fan.
Oh. Better luck next time.
Big Sean and Ariana Grande. They only dated for 8 months, but their breakup led to Donutgate. Remember when she licked the donut in the store?
Right.
Oh, that was brilliant. Kourtney Kardashian and Scott Disick. Big breakup after 9 years of dating, 3 kids. I saw him over the weekend hanging out with Chris Brown. Ew. Like trash hanging out with trash. That's not good.
Hey, the Lord is not trash.
He is actually really funny.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, like, I hated him at first, but I like Scott. Courtney's probably better off, though, because he's not exactly a good, not a good husband or dad.
No, he's a good dad. He's good with the kids. It's him.
Did you see last week on the Kardashians when he wouldn't go put Mason to bed because he had to go to Florida?
True.
Keep up with your Kardashians. He's a funny guy. I don't know about anything else. Miranda and Blake, obviously, we talked about Gwen earlier. Halle Berry and Oliver Martinez, 2 years of marriage. I heard that they call her Halle Scary because she is such a horrible person to be married to. Couldn't you see that, though?
I don't know. I mean, I enjoy her work as an actress.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know.
I think she is batshit crazy behind the scenes. Like, she's so beautiful, and she's won an Oscar, but she's had all these husbands, and none of these relationships end well. None of them end and have nice things to say about her. I think that she is a psycho behind the scenes.
All right, well, then I think I'll get on it. I'll get Gabriel Aubrey and Olivier Martinez on the show.
Yeah.
And we'll talk to them.
Are they the two that got in a fist fight over her?
Yes.
Yes. Like, everything around her is like a white trash circus. She's not even white, but
she's...
But that's what it seems like. It's always...
She's Helen of Troy.
Yes, exactly. And she's got guys fist fighting each other and their front lawn is grown-ups. I mean, that's crap that happens in Granite City, you know? So I'm sure she'll get married and divorced again. Megan Fox and Brian Austin Green. Amy Poehler and her husband, Will Arnett. Is that his name?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, The Last Man on Earth.
Was he in that movie?
No, that's a TV show.
Oh, okay. But I'm in the middle of Amy Poehler's book right now. It's a fun, mm-hmm. like, pick up and put back down book. You know,
yeah,
it's not like
it.
Not like a lot of substance that you're not going to set it down, but my friend Donna gave it to me, and I just kind of pick it up once a week and read a chapter, and it's a really good book. Have you seen the movie Sisters with her and Tina Fey?
I have not yet seen it.
It's hysterical. Hysterical. You've got to go see that.
I enjoy them.
Well, they're women writers. You know, Tina Fey, kind of, she paved the way a little bit, especially on SNL.
Yeah. Especially in comedy. She's I loved her book.
Yeah, I've got her book too. She's very good. And the biggest breakup of the year, Kermit the Frog and Miss Piggy.
Oh.
I mean, that was a hard one for all of us to get through. But we managed. And so we on did. To 2016. Any predictions of who might be breaking up in 2016?
No, I have a prediction of somebody that will actually get back together in 2016.
Okay, who's that?
I think Courtney and the Lord will get back together
again.
Ooh,
I don't think so. I'm waiting for the Kim and Kanye breakup. I mean, you know it's coming. You can't be that big of douchebags and live under one roof and not get sick of each other.
Well, it's like the one thing that I saw it on Facebook. It was, let's see. The Kardashians made Scott a drunk.
Yes.
They made
Bruce a woman.
Bruce a woman.
And Lamar.
Lamar a drug addict. I hate to see what they're going to do to Kanye.
Yes. I think I'm the one who posted that. So, Marlena, thank you for coming and hanging out on
Thanks
the show.
Thanks for having me.
I hope that it was everything you thought it would be.
And a little bit more.
And a little bit more. And when are you going to come back in town?
I try to come in the summer at some point, you know, come back when it's warm out.
Yeah, you LA people, you're probably a big wimp on the weather already.
Completely.
Well, you came back at a perfect time because it's freaking a tsunami and 60 degrees. We're all going to get wiped out by a tornado next week.
I asked for no snow. Gosh. I should have been more specific. I don't know if I'm going to be able to get home with the flood. But
oh, Hoss couldn't even make it to my house, and he lives 20 minutes away. Oh. My friend is from California, and we shot a wedding a couple years ago, and it was in December. And she's like, I love this weather. It's 70 degrees. I'm like, no, you don't love this weather. I'm like, we're going to get sucked up by a tornado in like 5 minutes. Yeah. When it's 70 in St. Louis in December, that's not good.
Right.
Under any circumstances. So Marlena, say hi to your parents for me.
I will do that.
Is there anybody else you want to say hi to while you're here? I don't want to put you on the spot with the shout-outs here.
I know, right? No, I'll stick with my lovely family.
All right. And, so tell them I said hi. We will be back next week with my official co-host, Hoss. Marlena, do you let people find you on Twitter and stuff like that?
Yeah, they can. I don't do much of the tweeting, but I will once the show starts.
Okay.
Which will be in the summer.
So what's your Twitter handle?
It's Marlena, which is all A's, Marlana underscore Hope, Hope.
And what about Facebook?
That one's, you gotta request me.
Oh, okay. But same thing, Marlena Hope.
Marlena Hope.
As long as they're not like a serial killer,
As long as you're not like a serial killer.
Sweet. Because they screen for that on Facebook.
Yeah.
They're like when you sign on, it's like, are you a serial killer? Yes.
Check box.
You just check no. It's so easy.
So I feel safe.
All right. Well, thank you for listening to the Kelly Mano Show. Make sure if you love the show, share the show. At www.kellymano.com. If you want to send me or Gary anything, the email is heykelly@kellymano.com. We would love to hear from you guys, and we will see you next week. If you love the show, share the show. It is the Kelly Mano Radio Show. I'm going to let the Spice Girls sing it out.